Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, we're back. Yes, indeed, we're back again. Back again. Thank the Most High. We're back again for another episode, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Jeremiah of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very thankful to the Most High, yes, indeed, for the opportunity to be back with you here again. And I welcome you all to the show. Thanking the Most High for every ear that he brings near. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, he has told me that I have, for his cause, some very important things for him that I must do. He told me because of what I must do, he said to me that I will surely accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, I would have his protection and his guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I am indeed utmost thankful. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, he has told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, that I must tell you things. The men have done everything they could. Yes, everything they could since the dawn of human fall. To hide, to deny, revert to silence, and if they could, my brothers and sisters, I said if they could, to destroy. The Most High, my brothers and sisters, has declared from the very beginning an everlasting covenant. And my brothers and sisters, even if a whole world has denied this truth, turned away from this righteousness, has fallen into unbelief. It is promised, my brothers and sisters, to restore faith in what is righteousness in this world. Yah will yet be true. There are many who say that there are certain things that cannot be brought about at this time. I had pastors say the people are not ready. Well, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures did not say, I repeat, the scriptures did not say that righteousness, salvation, peace on this earth would come. Would come, my brothers and sisters, at a time when the world is ready to open its heart. But rather, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures say that, in fact, Messiah will come suddenly, unexpectedly. In fact, the word that's down there for suddenly is a word that relates. He will come unexpectedly in a way, in a manner men have not expected. In fact, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures actually declare that he will come at a time when the whole world has fallen short of the righteousness of the Most High. And he comes, my brothers and sisters, as one to restore that righteousness. The truth of the matter is all prophecy relates again and again. There's a reason why Messiah said these words. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? Will he find faith in the earth? So in an echo of the idea that is recurrent throughout Scripture. In fact, my brothers and sisters, the prophecies relate Messiah and his appearing. Will come in a manner not easily observed by men. Will come in a manner, my brothers and sisters, even speaking righteousness. Zephaniah 3 says he will come as a just one speaking righteousness. But because, like the scriptures say in Isaiah 28, he'll speak a message that is a deep one, my brothers and sisters, if you will, line upon line, precept upon precept. And many not having the precepts to discern it, the fundamentals to discern it. Well, Zephaniah 3 says, at the time that he appears. At first, my brothers and sisters, it says, the wicked, the lawless, will know no shame. Well, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures tell us that Most High has a plan by which he will bring an end to the confusion that is in this world. Think about it, 45,000 denominations across 280 nations, each one touting itself as viable, each one touting itself as being led by the Holy Spirit. The gospel that was supposed to go forth to the nation, my brothers and sisters, is a pure and perfect word. Did you hear me? It is a pure and perfect word, a complete word. The Shema, that is also the gospel, declares that we all should love the Most High, seek him with all our minds, hearts, souls, and might. We be the best possible example that all should realize the Most High with one mind, speaking the same thing, no divisions among us. For Yah, my brothers and sisters, is one. And knowing that he is one declares a very important truth for those who have a mind and heart to hear it. Since there's only one Savior, one path of salvation, one appeasing righteousness, we must consider what then is every other way. My brothers and sisters, there's a lot of misrepresentation out here in the world today. And until the multitude of differences that men have upheld are no more, till the misrepresentations no longer beguile mankind, Many are snared after various factions and schisms, beguiled to uphold all manner of charlatans, my brothers and sisters, misrepresentations, falsehood, false prophets, false testimony, religiosities, my brothers and sisters, that by no means will be found in all things true unto the Most High. Many have not realized that the obligation of all who would be true unto the Most High is again that we all must seek the whole truth. Now, brothers and sisters, we all must seek the whole truth, being willing to humble ourselves for the blessed good of us all. For unless we have that heart to subdue the avarice, the selfish ambitions, the self-exaltations of the flesh, our brothers and sisters, the scriptures tell us well, if we subdue the flesh after the spirit, we will live. If we walk after the flesh, we will die. So let us consider then, my brothers and sisters, what has been the source of so much vain, misguiding warfare, misallegiance that we see presently in the world which we live today. Look around, my brothers and sisters, look around you. You really think 45,000 denominations are all declaring their own authority as a covenant with the Most High? The Most High told me, if you look around and see all these contradictions and believe that they are the work of His Spirit that teaches all things, no lie in it, purity and completion offering one choice. He said to me that anyone who can believe this cannot be a disciple unto Him. But anyone who can believe that the Most High is divided after a multitude of contentions, my brothers and sisters, that's the servant of the devil. It's time we understand that. It's time we discern why the scripture says the gospel is a pure, perfect word. It's a word that transcends all the rulers. It's a word that transcends all these misallegiances. It's a word that transcends all the snares and factions that men have created through the intrusions of various principalities and powers. A lot to say about this tonight, my brothers and sisters, and I would have you to listen very closely. Like I said, there's a tremendous amount to turmoil and warfare going on in the world today. You look around us, like I said, look at what's going on right now in the state, nation state they may now call, or the land they now call Israel. Read this morning, newspaper, 45,000 troops being now assigned to fight Hamas. Wow. Look at this movement of this this movement that is called ISIS. It calls themselves the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. I see that the people of Iraq are even training their women to fight in resistance against the spread of what some deem to become or to establish as an Islamic caliphate in Arab territories. I look at the idea, my brothers and sisters, about what's going on in that the Kurds are seeking their own autonomous state. And many should realize what's been going on with that for some time. Because all throughout the Middle East where Kurds are in diaspora, scattered, many of them, my brothers and sisters, if the Kurds gain their own state, many of them would seek to migrate there. And believe me, there are many countries in the Middle East that see that as a threat in so many ways to the security and livelihood of their various nations. I see, my brothers and sisters, and many of you know what I'm talking about. The droughts that are occurring in this country, the droughts, the floods, the threat, the constant threat, increasing threat, earthquakes, hurricanes in this country. Hey, the political unrest, the stagnation, the indecision, the godlessness of what has been so much of what has been legislated in this country of late, as if the scriptures were obscure in their meaning. I look around, my brothers and sisters, again, South America, Central America. You look around, my brothers and sisters, and there's a lot of turmoil going on. Children being shipped to this country, some of them even without the benefit of the parents, to escape. A lot of serious atrocities that are going on with children, my brothers and sisters. Unspeakable things. Even to the extent of not only are children being made slaves of all manner, but my brothers and sisters, I tell you, I've talked to some people who visited, who moved from there. I know one family that moved from there way back. This must have been way back around in the 80s. And since then, they've talked about, ran into someone just the other day talking to me about that same thing. Children being sold, killed and sold for organs. Atrocities, my brothers and sisters. The adversary is very busy. On the African continent, Boko Haram. Children being stolen. And there's so many things going on there with regard to both atrocities, with regard to threats against the peace of the people, let alone what's happening with regard to the droughts. Yeah, my brothers and sisters, a lot of things going on in this earth right now. Man somehow has said that for all the turmoil that's going on, that somehow men have believed that men have caused so much damage to just about everything they've touched. Environment, social orders, cultures. Brothers and sisters, did we forget the Most High from the beginning has a plan? Did we forget the Most High not only had a plan from the beginning as to what He intended for this earth, but my brothers and sisters, the Most High also has a plan whereby He shall not be robbed. He has a plan by which He has promised that this world shall make manifest, shall be revealed unto fruition according to all that from the beginning He intended. He didn't promise, my brothers and sisters, his people, a land ravished and torn. He promised the people a land like Eden, and He promised His people harmony and peace. But how should this be, my brothers and sisters? How should this be? Well, I'm looking at my time. I got about, what it says here, about an hour and 11 minutes. Well, a lot to cover. I'd like to look at something that you might find quite interesting before we even move further into this, because there's a lot of principle I'd like to relate after I relate this bit of scripture. I'd like to turn to Genesis 49th chapter. I said Genesis, the 49th chapter. And I'd like to compare a bit of scripture. Someone might ask the question right now, what will bring peace in the Middle East? My brothers and sisters, anciently, the people of the Middle East knew the answer to this question far better, my brothers and sisters, than most across the world know today, and seem to know even less of in the West. How about this scripture, my brothers and sisters, that speaks of promise the patriarch Israel gave to his sons, particularly here speaking of one out of the tribe of Judah. He said to his son Judah, he said, Judah is a lion's whelp, young lion. You're like a young lion from the prey, he called him his son. He said, you are gone up, and when you snoop down, you crouch as a lion. And as a young lion, who would, if you get my point, dare to rouse him up? Well, my brothers and sisters, I would even go as far as to say that what Judah is to be is like a crouched and sleeping lion. Most High has promised that there's a righteous one he would raise up for a very powerful purpose. But how many, my brothers and sisters, know those prophecies to know them well, to understand what all is being said? Genesis 49 and 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. A scepter shall not depart from Judah. It means not the expectation of one who shall bear the scepter, who shall bear the rule, shall not depart from Judah. Nor a lawgiver from between his feet. Remember that Moses, came out of the tribe of Levi. But this lawgiver, my brothers and sisters, prophesied to come out of the tribe of Judah, unto the coming of the one unto whom the scepter belongs, he unto whom dominion belongs by right. It is written in some texts that he is the one to whom the Gentiles, all the nations, shall look forward. He is the one the prophecies speak of, that unto him shall the gathering of the peoples be. Listen to this next verse, my brothers and sisters. He shall tie up his foal, well, like a young colt, if you will, a foal to the vine, his ass's coat to a branch, and he shall bleach his garments with wine, and his robe with the juices of the grape. His eyes shall be red like wine, and his teeth white with milk. What is this speaking of, my brothers and sisters? What is this metaphor? One whose eyes be red like wine, teeth white with milk, or white like milk. Consider the visage, my brothers and sisters. Consider the visage. Who is this speaking of? Who is this speaking of, my brothers and sisters? Who? In the book of Numbers, the 24th chapter, if I had time, I'd sit back and really get into how many times it's been that in the translation of these verses, they have encoded, let's just say what was encoded in the translations. They say the translations didn't relate everything that should be seen. For those of you who will look at the splash screen to this show, you'll see a picture there of a white horse rider having a bow and a crown, double-edged sword, arrows in his quiver. He stands, if you'll notice, my brothers and sisters, before a parched ground. The background, a city. Tornadoes over the city, lightning storms in the distance. I would strongly suggest that you look at my website, hiddengospel.com. Article there called Early Church Origin, Mutual Expectation. I would strongly suggest that you give a very serious look at all that the words that are there in Hebrew connote concerning this one called the White Horse Rider, to discern who he is and discern, my brothers and sisters, his purpose according to all the prophecy that speak of him in these, concerning these latter days. Numbers 24, 17, I've seen him. Oh, let's go back a little bit. Numbers 4, okay, here. The prophet Balaam was speaking to the Moabite king, Balak, who was seeking to impede the progress of Israel unto the capturing of the land that was promised to them. And though King Balak sought to bribe the prophet Balaam to find a way to impede the progress of the children of Israel, Balaam responded with these words. He said, and I'm going to need to make, go back even further. He said, if Balak, 24:13, if Balak should give me his house full of silver and gold, I would not transgress the commandment of the Most High to do either good or bad of my own mind, or to declare, if you will. And oftentimes you see the word do, it also means declare, think. Either good or bad of my own mind. What the Most High says, that will I speak. And he said, now behold, he said, I'm going to my land. Come therefore, and I will give you counsel what this people should do to your people in the latter days. And he took up his parable and said to Balaam, and said, Balaam the son of Beor has said, the man whose eyes are open has said, this is Balaam declaring his testimony, he has said, who heard the words of Yah and knew the knowledge of the Most High, who saw the vision of Yah falling into a trance but having his eyes yet open, said, I have seen him, but not clearly enough. I beheld him, but he was not nigh. Speaking of one who has come in the latter day. If you go back and read the scriptures, he was telling Balak about what Israel should do to the people of Moab. All who resist Israel becoming the people that the Most High intends in the latter days. So I've seen him, but not clearly enough. I beheld him, but he was not yet nigh. There's come a star out of Jacob, and a prince shall rise out of Israel, and shall destroy the mighty men of Moab, and subdue all the children of Sheth. Edom shall be his possession. Edom shall be his possession. Seir and all the possession of his enemies shall be his. Israel shall gain strength. Some texts say Israel shall do valiantly. How shall Israel gain strength? My brother says the prophecies speak of Israel in the latter days being scattered among the nations. Discern then, my brothers and sisters, it means that something must occur to rally the forces of those who be faithful to the Most High. It says, out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion. And it says, he shall destroy him who has survived. How about him who would, whoever seek to preserve the ways of the city? How about he would destroy whoever it is that seek to preserve the way of the nations against the way of peace? Much about this to be considered, my brothers and sisters, much. Giving that consideration, I'd like to look now at the book of Zechariah. For those of you, some of what I'm going to talk about here now is words for those who listen to this show on a regular basis. But after I get to these points, I have some very important things that need to be said about principle that needs to be understood about the way of peace. That those who are ready to hear them, the Most High told me, yes, indeed, these words are precious, but they're only for the most humble soul. I said, those who count the precepts of the word and the words of the Most High precious thing, I will tell you now, we'll find this a very blessed, blessed word. Many precepts need to be understood, but I know the time will come. The whole world will regard them as indeed, in fact, without question, my brothers and sisters, having worth without measure. And I speak that not merely of myself, my brothers and sisters. I know from whence these words have come. Zechariah 9:3 is where I'd like to start. Those of you who listen to this show on a regular basis know I've oftentimes talked about Isaiah, the 24th chapter. Go back to the 23rd chapter, it talks about a place called Soar. They spelled it T-Y-R-E. Sounds like Tyre, but it is pronounced Soar, as in Zoar. Those of you who don't know exactly what I'm talking about, maybe this you're listening to this show for the first time, I strongly suggest that you look on my website. There's an article there at hiddengospel.com, an article there called The Secret City Prophecies. Much, my brothers and sisters, is to be discerned about this, because the prophecies actually say it, something that most are not aware today. The Messiah will first appear at a city, seek to reprove the ungodliness of that city. There's a mirror example of a whole world in its confusions. Scriptures talk about how Messiah, because it should come to pass that he, rather than being heard, would be ignored at that city. Therefore, the scriptures say that city, at the hand of the Most High, would be destroyed. Therefore, to tell the whole world and show the whole world how him whom they have rejected is not only the firstborn son, my brothers and sisters, but him whom they have rejected comes to prove at the time for man being lackadaisical about seeking the truth has come to an end. It will prove to humanity that it had not known righteousness as well as men had thought they had. And in fact, my brothers and sisters, because this one declares a righteousness that none else knew, it should be discerned, my brothers and sisters, that this is Shashan Shah. This is Shiloh. This is the King of Kings. This is the one to whom, of whom the scriptures speak, saying, unto him every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear allegiance. But my brothers and sisters, I know that's not the scenario that is oftentimes taught among your churches. But that city called Tyre, pronounced Soar, as in Zoar, the city that Lot fled to in fleeing from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, like I said, the pronunciation is the same in many prophecies, like in Isaiah 16th chapter, relative to the prophecies concerning that told about the story of Lot fleeing to Zoar in Genesis, run some very powerful parallels. Scripture says that city, my brothers and sisters, yes, it talks about a lot of things about that city in the scriptures, calls it a merchant city. You can call it a type of economic capital for the world even. A city that you might as well say in many ways the prophecies related the most diverse city, but in this diversity also compromised against the will of one. My brothers and sisters, as a mirror example of the whole world, many prophecies, my brothers and sisters, speak about these things. But again, we're talking about prophecies that many are not aware of. Again, there's a need to check out what I've written on that website of mine, hiddengospel.com, an article called The Secret City Prophecies. It might be a little better then to understand how the prophecies speak about the destruction of a city of confusion, that a world learned to repent, that a Messiah should sit upon the throne of David in a city of peace. Let us consider this, my brothers and sisters. Zechariah 9:3. Soar, they pronounce it like I said, some will look at it and say it's Tyre, but Soar has built herself a stronghold and heaped up silver like dust and gold like the mire of the streets. Ah, but they become more concerned with wealth than they're concerned with the righteousness of Yah. Therefore the Most High will destroy her and cast her wealth into the sea, and she shall be devoured by fire. Ashkelon, talk about territories round about the territories of Israel. Ashkelon shall see it and be afraid. Gaza, wear the Gaza Strip today, my brothers and sisters, shall be very sorrowful, echoing, because our hope is confounded. The king shall perish from Gaza. Rule shall perish from Gaza. Ashkelon shall not be inhabited. And strangers shall dwell in Ashdod, and are bringing in to the pride of the Philistines. Well, there's much to be said about this, my brothers and sisters, because the truth of the matter, those who know the truth concerning this, know that when you see Philistines and you see the way words are written and have been translated over the course of time, it's talking about Palestine. But my brothers and sisters, don't be so quick to judge the brothers in Palestine. It's a long history, my brothers and sisters, of persecution against that people. In fact, those who know the truth know that Palestinians show evidence of far more Jewish blood than most, some of all the people that have come from the north and have returned. That's a genetic fact. It hasn't been about who has Jewish blood there. It's been about power. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, that many of the people of that territory were persecuted by, over the course of years, some of them were persecuted greatly by Arab forces in the area, Muslim forces in the area. But many of them, my brothers and sisters, the history is plain. Many of them have kept their prayer shawls. They've kept the accoutrements, if you will, of the worship of the Holy One of Israel. And many of them, my brothers and sisters, keep these things to this very day. The day comes, my brothers and sisters, the Most High, however, of all those who have been scattered among the nations, twisted and torn after varying ideals, blinded after the blindness that is among the Gentiles. We talked about that in Romans 11:25-27. The scriptures tell us well, my brothers and sisters, the blindness in part befall Israel. Ultimately, my brothers and sisters, says, till the time of the Gentiles shall come to an end, until the time of the Gentile confusions shall come to an end, until the times when no more shall the nations and their differences blind the minds and hearts of the people. Some have translated that verse, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Come into what? It says the deliverer will come out of Zion. So stop and consider, my brothers and sisters, the prophecy relates that all nations will one day submit to the righteousness of Yah, even of the Holy One of Israel. So let us consider what's happening here, because that territory will be brought to peace, my brothers and sisters. Zechariah 9:7, and I will take away the blood out of their mouths and the abomination between their teeth, and they shall be like a remnant for our Yah. War, the word for blood in many respects relates warfare, my brothers and sisters, oppression. Did you hear me? Warfare, contentions on the part of men, oftentimes caused, my brothers and sisters, by vast differences of opinion. But it's time to understand that purity and completion offers one choice. Well, how many opinions and diversitudes of misallegiance can come as a result of people upholding partialities and impurities? See, I take away the blood out of their mouths, the abomination between their teeth. How about the words? How about the thoughts? He says he has to do the same thing for Israel, my brothers and sisters, when he says he has to refine his people of all the corruptions among the nations. It's time we understand the reality. And they shall be like the princes of Judah, and Ekron shall be as a Jebusite. Well, who are the Jebusites, my brothers and sisters? Who were they? I can only tell you to go back and you look far enough back in Jewish history, you'll find out that there were those who were called the sons of Zadok. People from among the Canaanites, my brothers and sisters, that were, if you will, from among the people, kindred, if you will, kindred in their thoughts, or who carried some of the ideals of that one who was called Melchizedek, who was a priest, Abraham himself. It's part of Jewish history to be understood. But the scriptures relate about many of them, and their righteousness to serve the Most High, the Holy One of Israel, that the sons of Zadok, my brothers and sisters, actually became part of the priesthood in Israel. But who is these people? Who are these people, my brothers and sisters? The scripture shall become like the princes of Judah, as were the Jebusites, in the context of becoming like priests in Israel. And he says, I will cause to dwell over my house a governor because of him who passes by and him who returns. In other words, there must be one to declare an absolution unto all the peoples. And no oppressor shall come against them anymore. But now I have seen it with my eyes. Many prophecies relate Messiah's appearing because, quite frankly, this world become very much like gangland material, gangland mentality across all the nations. I want you to think about it, my brothers and sisters. I said like gangland mentality across all the nations. Because quite frankly, it's kind of like looking around in some neighborhoods in some of the largest cities where gangs have broken out. And very young ones, my brothers and sisters, oftentimes compelled to join gangs just for the sake of feeling that they have some kind of group after which they could seek some level of protection. But my brothers and sisters, so often are men compelled, even children in the midst of these groups, compelled to give their allegiance to institutions that in the end, my brothers and sisters, are only to their own destruction. There's something to be discerned about this, my brothers and sisters, because so often the contentions, the warfare we see among the nations have compelled men to give allegiances. I said give allegiances, my brothers and sisters, to institutions of man that at the end of the day can offer salvation, offer peace to no man. The only kingdom, my brothers and sisters, that will offer eternal life is that one the Most High said himself that he would give rule to. They have dominion over the earth. And that kingdom, he said, would endure forever. But listen to this verse. Remember we just spoke about, back in Genesis 49 about the one called Shiloh? Listen to this verse. Zechariah 9:9 says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes to you. He's righteous and a savior, lowly and riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Didn't those scriptures start sounding rather familiar? And he will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. In other words, all those will come against Israel. He will break the bow of war, and the bow shall be broken in the battle. He will speak peace to the nations, and his dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river even to the ends of the earth. Well, my brothers and sisters, it's amazing to me that so many who say they have as a goal of their faith and religion, they have the hope of peace. But is it not amazing, my brothers and sisters, that of those who call themselves Abrahamic in their faith today, many who call themselves, if you will, Jewish, many who call themselves Christian, many who call themselves Hebrew, Israelite, Messianic, Islamic, and all of them having the various factions, say they have the hope of peace. My brothers and sisters, do they talk truthfully about the one the prophecy said that unto him, because dominion belongs to him, all the nations shall seek him, and unto him shall the gathering of the people must be. The reason why they haven't spoken about them, or spoken about this one, my brothers and sisters, the full efficacy of what's written in the scriptures, is because for all, in that all nations will gather to him. The only way it will be is that the misrule of all the nations must be discerned in their treachery. Isaiah 44 talks about he will prove foolish to wisdom of the wise, that all shall know, even from the rising of the sun to the west, from the east to the west, the end of the earth. There's only one salvation, my brothers and sisters, only one deliverance beyond all the folly and misconceits and misallegiance and misrepresentations of this earth. Even that one shall come forth, according to Isaiah 45, saying, draw near to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. He is the one the Most High has chosen. He is the one of whom the scriptures have said, behold my servant, my elected, my soul delights. I put my spirit upon him. So his words are not the words, just merely the words of man. He says, not his voice that should be heard in the streets. Came up like a root out of dry ground, but a bruised reed he shall not break. What does it mean? It means, my brothers and sisters, that a righteous one, a righteous branch, should be raised up in a land where men have fallen far short of even the consideration before righteousness of Yah. Men inundated with the pollutions of misconceit that have plagued the hearts of men since the dawn of the fall. My brothers and sisters, this one, according to the prophecies in Isaiah 59, in the midst of all this gangland mentality, this one will be a defense for those who are turned from all the miscreant misallegiances of this earth and the institutions of man that will compel men after injustice. Even my brothers and sisters, that he should not only be a defense for them, but he should build for them a kingdom. It's time we understand fully, much more so, my brothers and sisters, what all the prophecies have actually said. Because the prophecies declare that anyone who would stand against the establishment of that peace, will partake of the marks of the beast, the various standards of all the nations, against the rise of that kingdom. Scripture says they should partake of the wrath of Almighty Yah. Much to be considered concerning this, my brothers and sisters, I promise you. Much to be considered, much to be learned, much to be restored to the hearts and minds of the people. That they discern that the gift of the Most High, the grace of the Most High, refines the minds and hearts beyond all of these misconceits. The men transcend the flaw that is the variant ideals of men who have forgotten that the earth belongs to the Most High, the fullness thereof, and sought to establish their own territorial principalities and powers. Many not discerning what scriptures mean when it said, shoot, beware the intrusions of the principalities and powers. Beware the intrusions of the principalities and powers, not after the way of the Messiah. Beware lest any man beguile you after the principle of the world, not after the true way of the one called the Kurdee. Don't know what I'm talking about there? Please check it on my website, hiddengospel.com, article called Early Church Origin, Mutual Expectation, and discern who is that one called Shiloh, the one called the Kurdee, the one called the righteous one for whom all should be expecting, who seek that this earth should know again the way of peace. Well, giving all this consideration, let us consider, my brothers and sisters, what has actually occurred. In that, of those who call themselves a Brahmin, many have chosen to either totally ignore much of what these scriptures have to say about this one called Shiloh. Either have completely ignored it or have sought to see the perceptions that are written concerning him in a shallow manner. Many have not realized, my brothers and sisters, what the scriptures actually say or actually telling us. But this one must come to reprove all the doctrines of all the pastors, priests, rabbis, elders, imams, whatever they call themselves. It didn't make any difference. Must reprove the unrighteousness of them all. The one standard he established in the earth. I said, my brothers and sisters, that one standard he established in the earth. How else, my brothers and sisters, shall all know who it is unto whom they must gather? That there be peace, that there be harmony, that there be one allegiance, all speaking the same thing, no divisions among us. How should it be? It had to be, my brothers and sisters, since the Most High signs no contract but that which he has created, that which he has written, that which he has declared. It had to be that one has to come to restore the true, genuine knowledge of righteousness. As we just looked in those prophecies earlier, we see that the one called Shiloh at Genesis 49 is that one to whom, of whom it is spoken, will finally bring peace to the area. And in that day, my brothers and sisters, we understand scriptures talk about not only peace in the Middle East. We're talking about a time, my brothers and sisters, that some common denomination, some common denominator, even one that all the nations have ignored. It should have been a common expectation for all. Let's just say that which all men have ignored. Even schemed against men discerning will be and is promised to be cornerstone upon which peace is laid. Some of you might want to go back and look through the archives, but I can only tell you that Psalms 118 speak of one that all the nations, the scripture said all the nations would come against. But the scripture says he, in the name of the Most High, yes, my brothers and sisters, the name of the Most High, let's just say he will convert the nations. And it says the stone which the builders rejected become the chief stone of the corner. Frankly, my brothers and sisters, if we are wise, we understand that since these prophecies concerning what must occur in the latter day talks about one the Most High has chosen. And Isaiah 42 says, he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he set justice in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. My brothers and sisters, let us think about what that means. It means one standard to all the nations. That must be a law. How is it that men have believed that representation of the one Most High comes through a multitude of differing ideals, differences of opinion, as if there's no discipline in the receiving of the Spirit of the Most High Yah? I can only tell you this, my brothers and sisters. We live in a world that has forgotten some serious, what should be basic principle. I would like to say to you, my brothers and sisters, that war to preserve any partiality on the part of any nation is sin. Most High told me directly that nobody has a right to rule but by him. Nobody has a right to enslave a mind. Nobody has a right, my brothers and sisters, nobody has a right to create factions and schisms through the intrusions of their own ideals against the purity of the faith. And if men had only preserved what the Most High declared from the beginning, my brothers and sisters, I want you to consider something. Many of these nations we see in the world today would never have even come to exist. The contentions we see among the nations would never come to exist. Men would not have sought to establish their own ideas of what is so-called righteousness against the expectation of the one who comes to declare it once for all, once and for all. Dare men really believe the Most High delights in the idea about men dividing up the world after their own interest against the one whom the Most High says they should expect as king? Think about it. The prophecies actually relate, my brothers and sisters, that if men had constantly expected the one unto whom all nations should gather. Even as Messiah said, your righteousness must exceed, hear me, that of your contentious leaders. That's what it means. He said, unless your righteousness exceed in terms of your knowledge of the law and the prophets, your obedience, your understanding of the law and the prophets, exceed that of all your contentious rulers who have taken these words and twisted them according to their own designs. He said, unless you exceed their unrighteousness, their treachery then, their hypocrisy, their misrepresentation, he said, you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. Let us understand what that means, my brothers and sisters, with regard to all the nations. Let us consider. I can only tell you that the prophecies say that in Isaiah 40 through 41, that when Messiah appears, he will say, keep silence before me, all you isles. Listen to me, if you will, all you nations. No, it's actually declared. It's not an if you will. Listen to me, all you nations. Let my people renew their strength. What is that scripture talking about? It says, they who wait for him shall renew their strength. It means, my brothers and sisters, then that the people will finally discern beyond all the fallen standards of the rulers, misallegiances to their rulers, who he said his word will make them as dust before his sword, driven stubble to his bow. Oh, we need to talk about what that means. Scripture said, because men shall discern a greater light and a greater wisdom, greater than all that of their rulers, who have all been neglectful and negligent, treacherous, against the sin, declaring what the Most High has promised as a way of peace. He said, because of this, finally, Israel shall be comforted as a people in the time of their warfare due to their, how about being beguiled and blinded after the ways of a multitude of diverse nations who refuse to see the way of one rational truth? He said, all the contentions, the warfare that has afflicted Israel, scattered among the nations, and allegiances to the variant, blind, false righteousness of the other nations will finally come to an end. The rulers of the earth, my brothers and sisters, have seen no advantage to themselves to tell you this, because if they did, men would know by faith to seek the Most High. I said to seek the Most High beyond all the variant standards of a world entire. War, my brothers and sisters, warfare on the part of men to defend partialities, to herd men in their blindness after misconceits that will never make them whole before the Most High. Such warfare, my brothers and sisters, is injustice. It is sin. Scriptures tell us well what the Most High has said concerning those who would in such manner deceive his people. So it'd be better than an ass's millstone hung around the neck of someone than them to face what the Most High has in terms of wrath upon those who would deceive his little ones. Who would seek to deceive, my brothers and sisters, those who might possibly turn toward righteousness if only they were given a right foundation. I can only say to you, my brothers and sisters, in that all the nations shall be reproved for their unrighteousness. I said all the nations shall be reproved in their unrighteousness. Shall be said again, my brothers and sisters, to the nations who have all been negligent and derelict in duty. Let him without sin, let him cast the first stone. For the time will come, my brothers and sisters, that all the Abrahamic religiosities of this world, as they call themselves Abrahamic in their faith, predominantly what you see in the Middle East today, we'll all have to realize that they all have begotten a foundation that should have been an expectation as commanded by the Most High to them all. What will they do, my brothers and sisters, when the time comes, when it shall be that whoever will not hearken to that testimony? Well, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures talk about the land itself, nature itself, will show the Most High will only be pleased with those who will hearken. Most High has a plan, my brothers and sisters. He has a word that he has forsworn there will be to the changing of the hearts. What's the scripture say? His word is sharper than a two-edged sword, able to tell the point of division between soul and spirit, bone and marrow, and able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. Out of his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword with which he should smite the nations. It's a word, my brothers and sisters, that shall discern whether men have preferred righteousness or unrighteousness. It's a word that will discern whether men have a love of the truth and even whether they are rational or whether they are not. What scriptures say, our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through Yah to the casting down of strongholds and casting down every false imagination that would stand against the righteousness of Yah, the knowledge of Yah. He said, not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit. How about by my testimony? Isaiah 19. Talks about one coming. They put down in your Bible, swift cloud. When Most High comes upon swift cloud. How about even Messiah coming with a swift testimony? Clouds were metaphor for testimony from on high. We talked about this many times in the show. It talks about the heart. How about the social coalescence of Egypt? How about all those who walk after all the variant misrepresentations of deity in this world? No matter what they call themselves, they make any difference. He said, their social coalescence, their heart, shall melt in the midst of it. Who shall discern, my brothers and sisters, that it is an exceeding word that should be pronounced to the world? That it should come to pass, as the scripture says, whoever will not hearken to that prophet, that testimony, should be cut off. Most High has a plan, my brothers and sisters. Please understand what those scriptures mean when it talks about it, Revelation 6 and 7. It talks about all the kings of the earth being suddenly recognizing their treachery, saying, hide us from the face of the Lamb, and him will sit upon the throne, because, it's, like I said, one is beginning to declare a righteous testimony to the world that will decide who is and who is not a child of Yah. Talks about those who hearken, Most High will seal with his very name, as those, my brothers and sisters, in fact, those who will be protected in that day of wrath. But my brothers and sisters, that protection will come to none who seek to preserve the various marks of the beast, the standards of the nation that refuse to reason as one with the Most High. Isaiah 6:12 talks about, hey, whatever nation, whatever people, the Most High declares righteous, will not hearken to the righteous he declares to sit upon the throne. He said that nation will perish. How many understand what this has been, what this is all about? It's not what the nations have dared to speak, because if men knew it, would you trust those, my brothers and sisters, who you know could never offer you the hope of peace, never offer the salvation, the hope of salvation to your soul? Again, only that nation which the Most High has declared eternal is the hope of that peace. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Shiloh, the one the scriptures speak of when it says the Savior comes out of Zion. When it says blindness in part befalls Israel till the time of the Gentiles comes to an end. And then it says, and then all Israel shall be saved. How about delivered from the blindness? How about delivered from the misconceits? How about delivered from the misallegiances? How about delivered from all the false doctrine that has been taught in this world? A world, my brothers and sisters, is about to be put in a position where it will have to hear what the Most High has spoken. When the scripture says time will come, all eyes to see the glory of Yah. Realize, my brothers and sisters, that the reason why men have not discerned what before the Most High is honorable, because men have chosen after their flesh, my brothers and sisters, to resist the knowledge of righteousness. But as I tell you before, the Most High has a plan by which the world will be made to conform to the truth of His will. Shiloh come, my brothers and sisters, that all Israel will be saved from all the blind. All this blind is giving them, men giving themselves and destroy themselves and the lives of so many others after foolish expectations among the nations. The time of this warfare must come to an end. For all who stand against this righteousness, the peace the Most High has intended this world for, Scripture says, shall discern the wrath, discern what it is to see the wrath of Yah. But those who will hear Him, what does the Scripture mean when it says, blessed are they who wait for Him? Blessed are they who put their trust in Him. I can only say this, my brothers and sisters. Woe to them who refuse to hear, who will be found to have only been the worshippers of sin. The expectation of the one called the Kurdi, the one called Shallow. My brother says that is the expectation of what overcomes the world, what overcomes all of its false doctrines, misallegiances, all the short-sighted standards of men that seem wise. But as I told you before, since there's only one way toward peace, one way toward righteousness, one way toward salvation, what then is every other way? What did Messiah mean? He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father, but he come through by me. It means that to appease the Most High, my brothers and sisters, is a very, very specific law. He said he made no request for the worldly. How about he made no request for those who uphold a multitude of partial standards? Partial standards, since purity and completion offers one choice which offers peace. He said, I make no request then for those who seek to be justified after lesser standards, who can only bring forth warfare. Isn't it time, my brothers and sisters, we understand what the scriptures mean when it says the Holy Spirit seeks to teach all things, no lie in it? That we all seek the pure, perfect truth, that we all have one understanding, no divisions, that we all speak the same thing, that we all know Yah's one. If we say we love each other, if we say we love one another, brothers and sisters, we should realize what then is our obligation as people that be called true to the name of the Most High. The expectation that one called the Kurdim, brothers and sisters, the one who teaches the standard that overcomes all the trickerations of the world that have bribed men, like I said, to fall victim to all manner of exploitation. That one comes, my brothers and sisters, that those who will and discern the truth remain steadfast. He said that they have a very special reward. A very special reward, my brothers and sisters. When Scripture talks about an eternal kingdom, believe me, eternality has no contradiction in it. Life has no contradiction in it. We're talking about, my brothers and sisters, finally, after all the turmoil in this world, the people who shall have peace. That's what the Most High has promised. We live in a world today, my brothers and sisters, that the rulers have acted as if that hope of peace never existed. Because to speak of it, my brothers and sisters, means they would have to declare to the world the nature of their treachery. As people who have sworn by the name of the Most High, but not in truth nor in righteousness, who have not known the way of righteousness in which to go. But people, my brothers and sisters, the Messiah says himself in Isaiah 48, it's a prophecy, it says, the men have thought otherwise, but there's no peace to those who walk after lawlessness, less than what the Most High has required. The Most High did not say that he wanted his covenant in any way compromised. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, the day in which peace shall come is a day in which the world shall realize indeed There's only one righteousness acceptable to the Most High. In all nations, beyond themselves, we have to look to the revelator of righteousness. In that day, my brothers and sisters, as the scriptures have already said, whoever stands against that righteousness shall not know peace. Well, I can only say to you, my brothers and sisters, there's a lot of prophecy, a tremendous amount of prophecy. I'm looking at my time that I have left here. Heaven help us. Let's see what I can go through here quickly that kind of relates so much to the point that I would declare to you tonight. Let's see. Okay, I see a place here in the midst of these notes. There's a lot of things that I have written here, but I know I'm not going to be able to cover it all tonight. But I think I see a spot that might be a good place to start. Consider something, my brothers and sisters. 2,000 years ago, the territory we call Judea was indeed a place whereby the people being oppressed, people of the East being oppressed by Western forces, was surely looking forward to a time of peace, as promised still yet at Jerusalem to come. In fact, Jerusalem, by very name and title, means City of Peace. I could sit back and talk about, my brothers and sisters, how Jerusalem had been ravaged before the people went into Babylon. I could talk about coming back from there, and still there was being a time before they could actually establish a temple to the Most High there in the land of Israel. I could talk about the scourges that occurred with the coming of Alexander the Great. They called him Alexander the Great, the Grecian king called Alexander the Great, and the various skirmishes that occurred with his successors, Israel oftentimes having to compromise, or being compelled to compromise, as to which pagan ruler they would more delight to have as a ruler over Hebrew lands. To talk about what occurred, my brothers and sisters, with the coming of Rome and Julius Caesar. The turmoil that occurred with Herod Antipas. You can sit back and talk about, my brothers and sisters, all the various times of turmoil that Israel had been through for hundreds of years by the time of coming Messiah 2,000 years ago. And anyone who does not understand, given that history, the hope of peace, is seriously missing the point. Like I said, the days of Messiah 2,000 years ago were indeed a time of great turmoil. The hope for peace, my brothers and sisters, and the desire for peace, people looking for peace. Yes, there was a strong zeal for the promises of Yah. I can only tell you that those who know the history know that the territory that was once called Kurdistan throughout the East, having had a king, and that territory for a time consolidated under that king, one whom in that day they knew to be the first appearing of the one called Shiloh, who was actually prophesied to come three times, had brought peace, because they expected a king established by the Most High who would raise peace in the land. Since his rule and the coming of Greco-Roman Western power, among those who being polytheists had no monotheist hope for that peace. Well, like I said, it was prophesied in the book of Daniel that the Grecians would come, that the Greeks would come, and Greco-Romanism would take away from that peace. And in fact, the scriptures even prophesied according to Daniel 8:5-25, they talked about that power out of the West that would destroy the peace and would even challenge the hope of peace. Revelation 6 chapter talks about it as well. Until the coming of the Prince of Princes, who will defeat the pretense of peace they declared easily. A lot of things I could tell you about in the book of John, 14th chapter. Sire said, ultimately, I make no request for the world or those who desire, as I said before, a lesser standard. He said, his peace is not like what the world gives in counterfeit. In other words, everyone holding a partial standard, seeking to exalt themselves, might be a supposed offering toward peace, but the end result is only treachery, because the end result is if everyone feels that they can uphold a multitude of partial standards, is that peace? Is that what is truly considered honorable before the One Most High? He said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. He said, those who will seek then that perfect peace, he said, he revealed himself too. You realize, my brothers and sisters, what the scriptures mean in Colossians 2 and 8 when he said again, beware the principalities and powers, the intrusions, if you will, or the rulers who create factions, dividing men's concept of what is divine law, causing contentions among the people. And the end result, my brothers and sisters, is only warfare and not peace. That's why he warned against those who would come in from the, as he said, the powers of perdition in 2 Thessalonians, causing men no longer to recognize their iniquity, no longer recognize the pollutions in their midst. But only those who had a great love of the truth have an opportunity to be saved. Like I said, my brothers and sisters, 2,000 years ago, the territory we're talking about calling Israel was in great want and desire for those who were faithful, great want and desire for the hope of peace. But the West knew nothing of that hope and promise. To this day, to preserve their authority, they have sought to deny men the knowledge of that hope and that promise. They cared nothing about that was the hope of the gospel. Cared nothing about people knowing a pure, perfect way of an absolute will of one. How else could they maintain their variant rule in their empire? What it was called, the Roman Empire? Called it holy? How can it be holy and still have a multitude of variant nations with variant traditions and beliefs and celebrations far from that which the Most High has declared, far from his righteousness? It's all an illusion, my brothers and sisters. However, the East looked for one who would come, that it might be finally that not only in the East, but also in the West, all might know if there's one salvation, one peace, one reconciliation with the Most High. One way, my brothers and sisters, we wish the Most High would be pleased and appeased. Because the only offering the Most High will accept without question is peace. Did they tell you about the one the scripture said would come saying, listen to me, O house, hearken to me, O you nations. The Most High has called me from the womb, from the body of my mother. Has he made mention of my name? Or have they hid that knowledge from you? They tell you who Messiah said that he is when he said he is the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star. Those who know the truth know, my brothers and sisters, he was relating to himself as what ancients knew was would be not only the second but the third coming also of the one called Shiloh. When he says the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star, he was saying he was also that first appearing, the one called Shiloh. But if you look at those prophecies closely, it talks about one unto whom all nations should gather. And Isaiah 11 talks about him doing what he does, doing again what he has declared before a second time. To regather all the people, even we can gather Israel unto peace. Who did it before, my brothers and sisters? The prophecies relate is the one who will do it again. Because the scriptures actually say that one will destroy this Babylon and confusion that's in the world once and for all. Like I said, there's only one way to life. So what men is it that men see is every other way? Should it say they are also peace? Most High will have a holy kingdom, my brothers, there's no contentions in it. Galatians said, if any man say in the other word is a gospel or is a way of peace, he said, let him be accursed. There is no other way. 45,000 denominations say that they are blessing rather than curses. If you really believe and trust in all the variant misconceits of man, the variant misopinions of man, my brothers and sisters, should be peace? Absolutely not. It means the scriptures are quite right in all that is said. When you read it 44:20 through 45:6 in particular, it says Messiah must prove foolish all these variant misrepresentations of himself. But all may know that there's only one salvation. And nobody has a right to twist or change anything that's written after its initial intent, according to what is truly the covenant of the Most High. I can only say to you, my brothers and sisters, that the words of the Most High are much deeper than they seem on the surface. And few have really been truly willing to look beyond what appeases their own designs. But the wise man, my brothers and sisters, is the one who knows this and said, we must copy him with all the saints, what is the height, depth, and breadth. Should we say we understand that, my brothers and sisters, by looking at things lightly? It's time we understand what the scriptures really mean. When they talk about men have perverted the grace of Yah. How about my brothers and sisters, perverted men coming to the discerning what is the foundation of faith? Perverted what is truly the discernment of what is divine righteousness, what is acceptable unto peace. What scripture say in Isaiah 59th chapter, the way of peace men know not? But the scriptures also talk about Messiah coming after, let's just say, seeking to first teach the people. Talks about those who would not listen. He will smite them and then make peace. Men will have to finally discern that all that they had ignored, they should have always sought. In fact, my brother says, not only to prepare for, but in hearing, to uphold. So what does scripture say, those who pervert the grace of Yah? How about the refining empowerment of Yah to discern what is indeed called beauty and peace, harmony before the Most High, transcending all the false law, the flawed standards of men. Remember I told you before many times on this show how the Greeks had a word for law, nomos, and they used the same word for their polytheist, their polytheist misrule. They used that same word, my brothers and sisters, to relate also divine rule. As if the rule unto the will of one and a rule after the diversities that are catered to men's flesh and their carnality are the same. It's total blasphemy and total complete disrespect, complete irreverence and indiscretion against the will of Yah. But who is it, my brothers and sisters, going to discern this, how men have been vastly deceived looking at that word law and not discerning what law must be cast aside? How many of my brothers and sisters are going to be humble enough to realize that men have been tricked against the law of the Most High, that they've been servants of another? That's why the scripture says the Spirit of Yah is upon me to preach good tidings of the gospel. How about the whole word of truth to the meek, to the humble? It's time that we see, my brothers and sisters, what the scriptures mean when they say they pervert the grace of Yah. How about pervert the knowledge of the truth of what the Most High declared must be upon the lips of all his people? And the scripture says that one time he knew this, that those who fall toward unbelief, as it was when men coming out of Egypt turned away, he destroyed. What do you think, my brothers and sisters, has been the result of man scattered among the nations, Israel scattered among the nations, and the nations resisting the knowledge of the truth, and imputing their variant misopinions and to creating a multitude of factions, men interpreting the word of the Most High as they will? My brothers and sisters, do men really believe that beyond all this confusion that they can now discern beyond all the machinations of illusions that men have upheld, been taught to uphold, and all these variant differences whereby rulers have only been concerned about their avocation rather than a soul? rather than the salvation of a soul. Men really believe that of themselves, they can discern beyond all these illusions. There's a reason why the scriptures say, my brothers and sisters, that one must come to show man again the way. And I can only tell you that if men are so concerned about their variant avocations and their desires to have men who will champion them and their illusions, then my brothers and sisters, if men have been more concerned about that than what's necessary to bring about an absolute and what's necessary to bring forth peace, then my brothers and sisters, how but by the enforcement of the Most High himself shall men come to realize what is necessary that this world be brought to the peace that he intended. He said he's going to declare one who will declare a testimony, my brothers and sisters. To him shall all the nations gather. To him shall all the nations seek. It will come to pass, whoever will not hearken to that prophet, lawgiver like unto Moshe, it said in Acts 3:18-23, to be cut off from among the people. But blessed are those who will hear. Meaning that those who look forward to the day when absolution shall be declared are not those who look for one who will deal partially according to the misconceits of any nation, but one who will seek one whose righteousness is from above. What did Messiah said? I'm from above and not from below. He said, you are of this world, I'm not of this world. He said, lest you believe that I'm he whose testimony then is from above. Beyond all these misconceptions of the world, he said you would die in your sins, but he said, how about under misallegiance? It's under those who hide the truth from you. And he said, if you're my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What was he saying? Think about it, my brothers and sisters. What was he really, really saying? In so many ways, what he was declaring is what is also written concerning him. That he would not deal partially with any kind of partiality after any of the varying factions of the nations. What's the scripture say that he would do to destroy and expose this Babylon? Isaiah 46. Scriptures tell us that men should be wise to seek beyond all the misconceits of all the variant controlling so-called bodies of knowledge taking men as slaves. Says Messiah will come forth one day saying, remember these things, O ye transgressors, you whose allegiances have been far from righteousness, and show yourselves men. Because Messiah will come, as the scripture said, not to appease the varying ideals of men, but the scripture says he's come like a ravenous bird from the east, or who comes to claim what is his own. And the scriptures say that he will come to what? Perform and appease the Most High according to all that is his pleasure. What does it mean, my brothers and sisters? It
means 90 seconds
will be established. And the day will come, my brothers and sisters, it is promised, that all nations will seek to know indeed what is that righteousness. As much I'm looking at my time, tell me I've got about a minute left. Much still to say about that, my brothers and sisters. Matthew 28:18-20. The reason why Messiah said, go forth and teach all nations everything, because only a pure, perfect standard will bring forth peace. It says, kings should shut their mouths because of him, because that which they had not considered, men should come to consider. Who shall believe that report, the report that transcends all the nations, there might be peace? He says, by his greater discretion, my brothers and sisters, will he justify or make righteous or make honorable all the nations. Psalms 2 says that many have not discerned this, and the nations have raged at war. Why? Because they've taken counsel against the Most High and against his anointed, even the one who would declare peace. Most High has promised a king, my brothers and sisters. Who is this willing to hear? Looking at my time, tell me I got a what? 20 seconds left? So much more needs to be said. I would ask that you continue to keep your ears turned, my brothers and sisters. I thank the Most High for every year the Most High brings near. And to his might, to his honor, and to his praise always, hallelujah! And I thank you all again for listening.